I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
From the Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 168 with your gratifyingly arrogant co-host, Tony DeBully Opinions, along with my partner, a man who still has the tenacity to wear a Jeb 2016 t-shirt, the Pope of the Podcast, Sir Francis One. Kiss the ring, Fran, good evening.
Dude, I just walk around with this and say, see, what'd I tell you?
Jeb!
What'd I tell you?
2016.
This shirt,
do people ever react to it?
No one will come to my face and say anything. I'm sure people are judging me behind my back, but I have a lot, like you do, I have a lot of the camping shirts, right? Because we were collecting them for a while.
Almost all of them.
Almost all of them, right? So I have my Feel the Burn shirt, I have my Hillary shirt that somebody sent me. We still don't know who the anonymous donor was on that, and although I think it was you. But the I have, who was the independent dude running out there in Utah that we thought was going to throw a wrench in everything?
I don't remember,
The dude in New Mexico who didn't know Aleppo, what Aleppo was. I got his campaign shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So I wear them all.
Aleppo? What is Aleppo?
He's look, bro, I'm stoned right now, so I don't know what you're saying. So, but what people don't realize is that the Jeb t-shirt is way different. It's a different material than the rest of them.
Is it a quality?
It's a quality t-shirt. It's a quality shirt. And will protect you from the nuclear flash, unlike all the other shirts.
Well, I have Jeb. I'll start wearing mine.
Jeb knew something the rest of us didn't, clearly. And now you all wish you voted for him, you dumbass.
I should retire mine. I might start wearing my Carly t-shirt.
I'm putting my Mitt. Remember, we got Mitt Romney shirts way back. I got that. I'm going to put that on. Back when he was fighting out with Obama in 12.
Well,
I have my Obama for Tennesseans t-shirt, which I can only wear when I'm cutting the lawn. I cannot wear that out.
No.
Public.
No. People will cut you, bro, in East Tennessee.
I'll be fighting it out in the Kroger aisle, bro, trying to get cereal and with my Obama for Tennesseans.
Well, certainly a lot going on this week. Could be the end of civilization as we know it.
Yeah, could be.
But we will talk about that. We're going to shotgun the news.
Just in case it's not.
We're going to do a little new bit called Living in the USA. We'll do another episode of UFUF. Speaking of science, because our science is as good as anyone's at this point.
Well, quite frankly, it's better than your science.
And, of course, Signs of the Apocalypse. Let's get to it.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
All right, so first up, Fran, did you hear about this model that was abducted in the Middle East? And she was abducted and she was going to be sold through the, what do they call it, the dark web?
Yes. My brother called me and said, what in God's name is the dark web? Because he kept hearing that term. I'm like, bro.
Your brother's kind of connected though, right?
No, he tries to set up the grid. He doesn't like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he... When I had my security clearance investigation, he came up as deceased, and he's like, when I called him, he said, don't fix that. Leave it alone. So,
that's hilarious.
So, yeah, so I told him, dude, dark web is where this kind of stuff goes down. And, you know, when we left the Air Force, right, were we not yearly taking training on human trafficking?
Yeah.
This is a thing.
Well, this is like a Liam Neeson movie right here, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what this is what
that's
this was
That's the premise
about.
Of that movie, right? Right.
Right. So, Chloe...
Taken.
Chloe Ailey, yeah. She was going to be sold, and the story is not done yet. She says she's been through a terrifying experience. Some of the authorities are saying, we're not sure about her story. Because she was shopping for shoes at some point in time. But
during her abduction, she was shopping for shoes?
Apparently, yeah. But she was... The Italian police say she was attacked by two men drugged with ketamine, I don't know what that is, and abducted, apparently to be sold in an online auction. She's a looker, no doubt about it. She's not some Alabama trailer park girl.
Good Lord, we're going to get letters. the bulk of our listeners.
He said she had gone shopping with her captor because she had been threatened with death. But so...
Yeah, I'm not sure where that... Maybe she's just been traumatized and not making a lot of sense.
She thought, hey, I'll just go along, it'll be nice, I'll play along.
But, oh, maybe they were trying to... They were trying to glam her up, maybe, for the auction. Get her some shoes and dress, maybe.
I guess. But she said she was terrified through the whole experience. I mean, the takeaway here is bad shit happens in the world, people.
Yeah, and there's a dark web where there's human auctions. Maybe yes. Someone should check into that.
And, look, if you're Rosie O'Donnell... Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
If you're...
You know, dude, you just... But you can't account for people's proclivities, man. I mean...
I know that.
Somebody might do a snatch and grab on Rosie.
Who's doing a snatch and grab on Rosie? No one. That would last 2 hours before they'd take her back. Okay? But if you're a hottie...
Once she starts speaking, yes.
If you're a hammer, be careful. Be careful, people. Because this happened. They're saying that this happened.
Yeah. Well, look, we had that rash of that here, right, in Knoxville.
Yeah.
That was it last summer that they had a couple people abducted, and that alert citizen felt like there was something wrong and approached the car and actually broke up a kidnapping.
And, of course, who's the guy that was married to the girl?
Yeah, so narrowed that right down.
Yeah, that talks about human trafficking all the time. What's his name? That's married to what's her name?
Yeah, go ahead and do a little bit.
Not the girl from Friends, but hold on. Okay, so we just did a 5-minute conversation off the air. Ashton Kutcher, who's always talking about human trafficking.
Yes,
and it does go on.
Yeah, well, and like
it's not laughing matter, really.
Every year we had refresher training in the military about human trafficking. Right, I mean you had to take these seminars every year about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And because of the things that you do, you may not even be aware, contribute to human trafficking. If you go to like paid porn sites and things of that nature, where you contribute money, that's probably being used to traffic in people. And then that's kind of what that training was about. Be careful about what you patronize when you're deployed overseas.
It's hard to know, but...
It is. They're just trying to bring awareness to it.
It's just a message to say... Human trafficking does go on. Yeah. It may happen in places where you're not even aware of.
Right.
Like you might say that doesn't happen here, but maybe it does happen there.
Well, and if it's on the dark web, it's friggin' everywhere. So.
All right. Human trafficking people, listen to what's his name? Ashton Kutcher. I know he seems like a dumbass, but maybe he knows what he's talking about. I don't know. All right, next. Friend, did you hear about this guy getting fired from Google because of his anti-diversity memo?
I read the memo, yes.
Did you?
I did.
I didn't, but what...
You can so Google
what's
it.
What's your take?
Well, so he got fired because they claim he says women have no business in the technology fields. But if you read the memo, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is there's a disparity in the abilities and skills in technology between men and women.
Right.
It just is. And he feels like it's incumbent upon his company and others like Facebook and other social media companies to rectify that. But you listen to it on CNN and it sounded like he said women need to get back in the kitchen and make him a sandwich. But that is not what he said. If you read it, if you take your time and read it, he is saying there is a clear gap in that space. And it should be fixed. And, you know, because...
But
they're
he got
such
fired
a,
for
well,
it.
Well, because they're very diverse. Totally.
So he got fired for the reaction to it rather than the substance. Said.
Right. Absolutely. Because we don't do substance. We do microwaves and headlines, dude.
We do microaggressions. This is a macro aggression.
It was a big macro. Very nice. Yeah, he did a macro aggression there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this guy got screwed. I mean, absolutely screwed. And then even... liberal writers that I follow were firing away at the CEO of Google saying, you need to step the hell down because you're a moron. So it was really just some people on CNN. As a matter of fact, one of our favorites who went from Fox to CNN, Mary Catherine Hamm.
Love her.
MK Hammer on Twitter. Brilliant woman. She's been interviewed on CNN about this. She writes also for The Federalist. The host of the show, and I can't remember her name, just said something so ridiculously stupid that Mary Catherine's facial reaction has become a viral meme. Like, her eye roll, I mean, her eyes almost fell out of her head.
Yeah.
Because this lady's saying, well, he's saying women shouldn't go near computers.
Yeah.
And so Mary Catherine then took the next 5 minutes to dismantle this woman after she put her eyes back in her sockets. So CNN, you know, again, I'm not a big proponent of this fake news nonsense, but they didn't take the time to read that memo because they had they read it, and maybe she couldn't understand it. But there's no way, if you read that thing, you would come out and say, oh, this guy hates women. It was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
It is bizarre world out there, dude. I mean, yeah. I just... This guy got fired for no reason, and Google looks like a bunch of smacked asses.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Google, get it together. Next. Fran, a college student in Virginia got 100 days in jail for registering dead Democrats.
You just can't be a go-getter anymore. You just get punished for work. I don't understand it.
But... Andrew, bad boy.
How many did he sign up?
Andrew J. Spiels, he signed up, shit, I don't know, let me see. He falsified the forms. I think it was like maybe 1,000 people.
Oh, that's posh. That's no, not gonna...
I don't know, I'm looking. That he prepared gonna... 18 false voter registration forms.
18? That's yes. It? He got 100 days for that?
Dude, he signed up dead people to vote for the Democratic Party.
So don't let him be involved in the party operation anymore. 100 days in jail?
That's a crime.
Ah, crime. 18 people. Are you kidding
you
me?
You signed up. It was punishable by up to a year in prison and a $100,000 fine, but he reached a plea agreement.
Oh my God.
Of course.
Yeah. This is what we're putting the people in jail for now? Holy smokes.
Well, yeah. I think if you're registering dead people to vote... You should be held accountable to that.
Yeah, you hold them
it's
accountable.
It's voter fraud.
You hold them
Francis,
accountable.
Francis, yes. It's voter fraud.
I get that, yeah.
It's voter fraud. Yeah. It's happening all across the
yes,
America.
Yes, it is.
Thousands of people.
18 of them, right. Yeah, that affected the election. So, 18 people, you bar the guy from any type of, other than voting, you don't allow him to be a member of the Democratic Party in any way, shape, or form as far as the party apparatus. That's how you punish him. Here, he's going to get 100 days, he's going to get out, and guess where he's going to be right back doing?
Well,
he'll be right back.
We can discuss the punishment, but...
I mean, bar him from activity.
But I agree, but, dude, you registered dead people to vote in the Democratic Party. I mean, I don't get it, but...
Well, I mean, surely you're not sitting there thinking that it's not happening on both sides.
I am. Yes.
You better be disappointed.
Unless I see something in the news that says Republicans are voting...
Wait, are registering fake news? You're going to now all of a
unless
sudden.
I see something yeah. where yeah. people are getting convicted... Yeah, we'll argue this point. Because unless I see that some Republican got convicted for registering dead people, yeah, I will say it's not happening on both sides.
Yeah,
and
that's
a
myopic view, I think.
No, I don't think it is.
Because you think this guy invented this? I mean... You think he's the first one that thought of this?
No.
And the only people that thought of it were Democrats?
I think maybe the only people that did it were Democrats. Yeah.
I don't think... If that helps you sleep at night, that's good for you,
man. It doesn't help me sleep at night. Look, I have no problems. However, I sleep at night. But I think Democrats do this shit. I don't think Republicans do.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know what? There's no money involved. All right?
There's no money.
Yeah, Republicans just do shit for money, right? Isn't that what everybody says?
Well, but winning would generate power, which then generates money, which then generates more power.
When you see the news...
Oh, we'll trumpet it, my friend. Trust me on that.
Please. We'll wait for it. We'll wait for it. And I'll cop to it when you see it.
You won't have to.
Till then...
I won't even have to give you a chance.
These Democrats are cheating, lying bastards.
Yeah.
The Republicans are, but they've not gotten caught.
Yeah, I mean, there were reports on election night of Republicans trying to vote 2 and 3 times. So, I mean,
Dude, show me the news story and we'll report it.
We'll drag it up.
All right, next. I just like to win. Next. President says military options are not off the table for Venezuela.
Venezuela, yes.
We're not going to go to...
Nicaragua, no.
North Korea yet.
So... Yeah, I mean, you know, they say, and I've heard it before when he was in Atlantic City, the dude works best in chaos, and maybe that's what this is. But he's juggling nuclear warheads in North Korea, and all of a sudden he says in Venezuela, well, you know, we may have to take military action there. Really? And do what? You want to talk guerrilla warfare? I served down there for 7 years. That will be a 100-year war. That will never end.
Yeah, I agree. But Maduro faked an election. Replaced the Congress. This guy's
set up
turning
a
himself into a dictatorship.
Yeah, absolutely has. Absolutely has. So what do you do?
Yeah, I agree. But his people are suffering. They don't have basic amenities for life. And all that I understand that Trump said is we're not taking military options off the table.
Yeah, but here's the problem, and this is the thing he's not learned yet because he's not a politician. That shit, when he says stuff, it means something.
Right.
Right? And it means several things. It doesn't even always necessarily mean the thing you think it means or that he meant it to mean. People read that as, we're going to take some military action in Venezuela. Because what happened right after he said that? Maduro called, said, I want to talk to the president. And they said, no, which I agree with. I think that was a great move. No, call us back when you reinstall democracy, and then we'll talk. But Trump's very deft drop of, hey, military option not off the table, got a phone call from this guy. That's how scared he was about it. So that kind of stuff means something, and people interpret it different ways. So, you know, and Obama said it way back when he was running for president originally, and McCain wanted to stop the campaigns to deal with the economic crisis. And Obama said that you got to be able to handle more than one thing at a time.
Yeah,
and so he's doing that. It's just we're talking about military actions on two different sides of the globe, and one of them will be over quickly. The other one will not. It'll never end.
Well, let's pick that up in hardcore politics. We'll talk about that more. All right, next. All right, so Putin dismissed how many?
700.
700.
And that was only that's the biggest takeaway I had from this. That was only half. 700. There are 1,400 embassy people over there in Moscow where the embassy is. Yeah. That was staggering to me when I heard that. I didn't realize they were that staffed that
I didn't either,
dramatically. Yeah. So Trump made a joke about, well, I took it as a joke when he said it.
Yeah, saving a lot of money.
Yeah. Like, hey, he just cut our half a payroll. You know, we'd like to thank them. Well, clearly, just because Putin sends them home, they're not off the payroll. They weren't fired.
Right.
Their credential was taken and they had to leave the country. They're still diplomats in the State Department diplomat corps. They still get paid. But God help us, man. People just went nuts. And, look, he's disgracing he's still got to pay these people. Doesn't he understand how this works? Yeah, don't you understand how sarcasm works? I mean,
no,
I took it as
they don't in terms of the president,
but it's willful
because
they do understand it. They knew he was joking, and they willfully acted like they thought he was serious.
No, I don't think that they do.
Really?
Yeah,
I think they willfully do that just to make story.
I understand it a little bit in this context. You're the president of the United States, and you shouldn't say shit like that.
Well, in this particular case, you shouldn't because of the context of Putin and this whole business,
yeah.
And it looks like you won't criticize the guy.
Now, the difference between me and somebody on the left is that I say you're the president, you shouldn't shit. I'm getting my S's twisted up.
You sure are.
You shouldn't say stuff like that. At the same time, knowing you're just being, you know, flippant. And the left goes, no, he means that.
Yes.
He means that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
But what my contention is, they know he doesn't mean that, but they're just saying it because
absolutely, they're not. No, they're not going to give him credit. I mean, they hate this guy.
Oh yeah, with every fiber of their being, absolutely. And look, I'm not a fan.
I'm not.
But
either.
I took that for what it was because I'm from that part of the country.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. That was just sarcasm. This is a joke.
I mean,
he's just making a joke.
I've been politically aware through three Republican presidencies. Ronald Reagan. Well. George Bush the first, which was really kind of a non-big deal. But Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and Donald Trump. Look, they hated Ronald Reagan, and they hated W. That doesn't compare to how they hate Trump.
No, I agree.
It does not compare.
We're at a new level.
And you want to talk about, like, W, who was a two-time governor of California. I mean, this guy was a...
Texas.
What did I say?
California.
Oh, that was Ronald Reagan.
Right. Yeah, oh, that's right. Right.
W was... Texas governor, two-time governor of Texas, beat somebody nobody thought he was going to beat.
Richards. Yeah.
Was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was an establishment Republican who got elected for president, and they hated him.
Yeah.
Right? And now you got Trump, and
oh, it's blind,
the
white-hot hatred. I mean,
the hatred for Trump is double what they ever had for W.
It's the greatest hatred. It's just... Yeah. No, I agree. These people who hate Trump would take W back in a heartbeat.
I think that they would.
If you laid it out and said, okay, we'll get rid of Trump, but we got to take W back, yeah, all right, I'll do that.
I think they would.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how bad they
are. Because they'd say, well, we'll take W. He's a dumbass. So.
Yeah, but you know, I never felt, and this is kind of how I judge all leadership, whether it's people I work for or whatever, I never felt uneasy with Bush as president.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I never felt like we were loose or kind of careening off a rail.
Right.
I'm not so sure now.
Well, let's talk about that in our politics. All right, let's go next. All right, so we got big riots going on in Charleston.
Well, it was a march at first. It wasn't
somebody
really a
died
riot until some liberals drove their car into the group and killed somebody.
Was that what it was?
I'm claiming that's what it is because of the car was appeared to be aimed purposefully at a certain group. The alt-right, the alternate right in this country, is trying to unite the right under the, but they decided to use torches and march in the middle of the night. That had a lot of symbolism for those of you who follow your pre-World War II history.
So the car
was kind of aimed at that group. So this started
with the city council or the mayor's office or something deciding that they were going to rename two public parks and remove the statue of Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
Right? Because, God help us, we're going to eliminate all that shit from our culture.
I get taking the flag down, but this guy's a revered general. Even the Union generals revered Robert E. Lee. When he surrendered to Appomattox, they let him keep his weapons. So, I mean... He is a revered member of West Point.
Well,
you know, like, you cannot erase him from our history.
But that's what they're trying to do.
No, that's exactly what they're trying to do, yeah.
And people are objecting to that. And what do you expect? How? Because, see, here's the sliding scale. Here's what you would call the slippery slope. Okay, you're gonna take down the statue of Robert E. Lee. Who's next?
Right. Well, and
because they're not going to stop with that.
If I live in Atlanta, I would absolutely be suing in the Supreme Court to remove any monument to Sherman,
who he burned down the sea.
Burned Atlanta and burned his way to the sea, right? Tortured, killed countless Georgians. Why would we put statues up to that guy? Well, that's the argument they could make when you start tearing all these other things down. I mean, look, Thomas Jefferson had slaves. When I was in Philly this past 2 years ago, when we went and we took the kids to Independence Hall, we did all that. They were digging right in the square in front of Independence Hall where Jefferson had a little apartment. They found evidence that he had brought his slaves to Philly with him. So when he was writing the Declaration of Independence, you know, all men created equal, all that kind of stuff. So
he was tapping a little booty?
Yeah, and he was creating some offspring too. But why are we not pulling his statues down?
Do you know who Key and Peele are?
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. Yeah.
Do you ever see their Ancestry.com commercial?
Yeah.
Where everything leads back to Thomas Jefferson. It's hysterical. If you've never seen it, go on YouTube and search for Key and Peele.
That is a great show.
Ancestry.com. Those guys.
But isn't that the premise?
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee statue's coming down because he was the Confederate general.
Right.
He was the MacArthur of the Confederacy, right? And the Confederacy fought for slavery. That's the simple-minded...
I just don't know why, when you say you're going to take the statue down and you're surprised that people are going to object to that. Because, let me tell you, this is what happens in America. We've got all these minorities, right? Even though we could say some of them are not really minorities, they're just not white people. Mm-hmm. So we call them minorities. At some point in time, when you start trying to erase all the history of those people, whether you want to call it right or wrong, it's history. Some of these people are going to get pissed. Yep. Now, I'm not a white supremacist. I object to all that. But be reasonable. You're gonna try to erase everybody's history, and some of these people are going to get pissed off if you want to take down a statue of Robert E. Lee.
Absolutely no logical argument to get rid of Robert E. Lee's statue. None. There is none. The flag, I get it. I get it from a military standpoint. We won. We right. won, damn it.
Right. I'm from
the loser's yeah. flag doesn't get to hang over the Capitol. We won. That's how it goes. Tough titties. Take the flag down. Now, you want to take it down because it represents slavery? All right, that's your argument. I got no issue with it. My argument is, I served in the military. The military, the Union won that war. You don't put the loser's flag up. Take it the hell down. Robert E. Lee was, again, a revered and esteemed graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point prior to the Civil War. He is a member of our history. You know, if you're going to remove his statue, then you've got to remove the Founding Fathers' statues. Because they all own slaves in some degree or another.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. The slippery slope. Yep. Like, where are you going to stop?
Right. And that's where... So, that's what you're setting the premise up for. The minute you start taking that stuff down, down at Ole Miss, they're trying to get rid of the statues on campus.
Yeah.
What history are you going to teach people? I mean, what are you saying? That, well, we can just erase whatever history, the most cry there is about, we'll just get rid of that?
Right. Where does it stop? All right, let's get onto something serious and talk about hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
All right, so let me just start off with this. We're gonna talk about North Korea and we're gonna talk about Trump and everything. Let me tell you what my objection is to some of the things that are going on. Because we got a little statue of the fat little psycho, Kim Jong-un. Today, the guy from Minnesota, Jeffers, I can't remember his name now, Jeffers, he came out and he said, well, in this situation...
Keith Ellison.
Ellison. Yeah, that's right.
Congressman from Minnesota.
Yes. And he said, well, Kim Jong-un appears to be the rational one yeah. in this situation.
Worst that effect, yeah.
Listen, dude, you're talking about a guy that executed members of his yeah. family, and you're saying he's more rational than Donald Trump.
Well,
that's bullshit.
Keith Ellison's a dope.
Now, there's part of me that wishes Trump would back off the rhetoric. Dial it back. There's part of me that says, you know what? Fuck this fat little psycho. I don't know, friend. That's where I'm at.
So here's my problem with the rhetoric is two-pronged. One is that, you know, that you're not helping things. And too many smart people in the military said, this doesn't help us.
Right.
My other issue with it is he's not good at it. It doesn't sound good when he stands up there and says, well, he best not make any more. Best not? That's not a phrase that a president should use. You know, it doesn't sound educated. It doesn't sound intelligent to me. Maybe that's... being a snob or being an elitist, then call me that. It'll be a first. But he sounds like a child when he tries to trash talk. He's not good at it. So he didn't do it. You know, he's trying to get off these one-liners. Like Reagan would have fantastic one-liners in these situations. And they would hit home and the point would be made. And you didn't hear from Gaddafi for years. So I just think he needs to stop.
I'm with you. If you're the big guy on the block, you don't need to make threats. You don't need to say this or that. But... this is not Trump's fault. Now,
I agree.
You can piss and moan about his response to it, but this dude is a psycho who is threatening the world.
It falls upon the President of the United States, as always looked upon as the peacemaker and the more stable setup in the world, to de-escalate these things, to be the bigger guy and de-escalate and not escalate, because it feels like if you took all his tweets in a row, you would say, "Well, this guy wants to fight." You know, Trump wants to fight. He wants Kim Jong-un to nuke Guam so he can erase North Korea from the map. Is that true? I don't know, but that's kind of what it feels like, and it's a little worrisome.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I wish he'd dial it back. I wish some of his advisors would say, look, when you say things like that, it's not going to change anything.
And quite frankly, he's also putting pressure on the people in the military.
Yeah.
Right, and that's stress they don't
need.
Well,
he's putting pressure on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, personally, I I'm not a particularly sensitive guy. I bleed for people that live in South Korea, how they feel now.
Oh, yeah.
In Seoul. Because if anything happens, there's a lot of people in Seoul that are going to die really quickly.
Even if he does nuke Guam.
I know a couple people that are from South Korea, and you know what? They're pretty much just like us. They're living in a capitalistic democracy and enjoying all that life has to offer, and they're in the firing line. Look, we're not going to... It's not going to happen to us in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Right. We're not going to... You know, California, I think, is what they estimate as far as you can get.
Yeah.
Rocket.
Even then, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's part of me that's okay with the rhetoric. There's part of me that says, man, there's a lot of people in Seoul, Korea that are just good human beings, and they're damn in harm's way. So I don't know what's going to happen.
I think people are starting to take him seriously, starting to take Trump seriously. China fired several missiles over the Korean Peninsula in a test that people are saying that, you know, they're trying to show Kim Jong-un, look, if you do this, we're going to have to take action, and we're going to have to take it with the United States. So they're basically just laid their cards out and said, well, we're going to back the U.S. on this, not North Korea. Because they got a vested interest too. They got people living on the border of the northern border of North Korea is China, and so they can't have mushroom clouds, you know, filtering over their border. But if I was the president, I'm with you. You don't have to say anything. You get one of your keyhole satellites to take a few pictures, and you send it to him and say, you know, you see this is your desk in your office. We took this from 3 miles up. This is what we're going to hit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You tell him the targets because he can't stop it. Right, he just now developed a miniaturized weapon. It's not like he can shoot your weapons out of the air. So here's what we're going to hit.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You shoot it whatever you want. Here's what we're going to hit. You're going to hit the ocean.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, China's come out and said, North Korea, if you attack the U.S. first, you're on your own. Which I think is maybe the most we can expect from them.
Right, but today, they actually went one step further today, and they did a military drill and fired two sub-launched anti-missile rockets across the North Korean peninsula, back into their own country. So they're showing North Korea, like, we're going to act, and we'll knock these things out of the air before you get them into the atmosphere. So, meaning, you're going to eat whatever rubble comes out of the sky. And I think they're making it pretty clear that they're not going to stand for this.
I agree. We could talk about this forever. I just want to go back to my original statement that and I'm aggravated at the American news media and American politicians that somehow want to blame Trump for this.
Well,
you can blame his response to this. But this little psycho, this has been going on for 30 years now, and nobody's
done anything. Which is what he said as well on his Friday press conference. But I mean, that's, you know, look, dude, that's red meat. They're gonna take that and run with it.
All right, let's go to our speaking of science, Francis. Fran, we got the big eclipse coming next Monday.
Yeah,
it's 8:12 right now. We're doing this on a Saturday, so it'll be a week from Monday. My company is having a little eclipse watching party because we're right on the edge.
Yes. Yeah.
My son, who lives in Nashville, he's actually going to Gallatin or somewhere, I think, which is right, like, that's right in the dead zone. We're going to have the solar eclipse, man.
Yeah. Your company's doing that. The other lab that is connected to our complex is doing that. My part of the complex is basically saying... No.
I'm saying, huh?
You keep working. You just keep working.
Yeah.
So, you have to take off. A lot of people are taking off. I was surprised, actually, how many people are taking off to go see it.
My company's actually giving out glasses and commemorative little handouts.
We're nothing. We're told you on your own.
We're going to... Because, you know, I'm the dumbass that will just go out and look at the
straight up at it.
I don't have any glasses.
As long as you don't look at it you know, you'd have to stare at it for a little bit with the blind eye. But I don't know if you saw that demonstration on the local news yesterday where a guy took a pair of the eclipse glasses. He had a telescope set up, and he put the glasses over the eye hole, and the telescope was strictly pointed straight at the sun. Now, there was no eclipse then, but they still burned a hole in the glasses. He said, you can't use binoculars, you can't use any device, because it will literally burn a hole through your eye. The magnification of the light and the intensity and the concentration of the light, the corona, once the sun becomes obscured, will literally burn a hole right through your friggin' eye.
Ouch.
I mean, he cut these glasses in half in 3 seconds.
Ouch.
And he said, a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of eye injuries because people aren't, they just think that with the glasses on, they can look through whatever they want. You can't. Don't do it, people. Be smart. We don't want to call you One-Eye Willie.
All right. Second topic, and speaking of science. Now, Fran, I want people to know that this is from the BBC. This is not from Fox News, because I'm going to read this. And people are going to go, oh, that's just from Fox News. You've read from Fox News. No, I'm not. I'm reading from the BBC. I found it on the BBC because I regularly circulate different news stories, people. And I am saying that to you.
You know who you are.
Okay. And this is about the Paris Accords. And what they're saying is that the Paris Accords could collapse because apparently some of the requirements of the Paris Accords are for different countries to measure the gases that are being emitted from their countries. And levels of some emissions from, let's say, India and China are so uncertain that experts say their records are plus or minus 100%.
That's not the good 100%.
What does that mean?
That means the data is completely false. Completely made up is what that means. They're just doing it to turn in their paper on time. That's all they're doing. Well, and look, how can any of those countries possibly get that data correct?
Here's the quote. This is a bigger threat to the Paris Accords than Donald Trump withdrawing from the Paris Accords.
And he probably saved us a couple million for getting out now than when the damn thing collapses, right?
I'm just saying.
Crazy like a fox sometimes.
I came across this on the BBC and I said, well, damn. This is something.
But think about that. You know, we all heard the stories that even when we first heard the stories as teenagers or whatever age your bracket you were, that you know, the flatulence of cows contributes to holes in the ozone.
Right.
So if that's the case, countries like India, where it's a crime to kill a cow, where they have millions of undocumented people, how would they ever possibly get a good read on the emissions? It's not possible. In the Sudan, in the Sahara, where are they going to find the data on these animals that are contributing to those gas emissions?
Yeah.
They couldn't.
Yeah.
It's really a ridiculous exercise. He was right to pull out of it.
But it's science, Fran.
It's not good science.
It's science. And it's settled. People say, this is settled science.
Well, I have no
doubt.
Although,
the exact quote is, these flaws pose a bigger threat to the Paris Climate Agreement than U.S. President Donald Trump's intention to withdraw. That's from the BBC. That's not Fox News.
Right.
And I want to make that because I know most people say anything you say like that, that's got to come from Fox News.
No, and they're right.
No.
They're right. That Paris Accords were never going to fix the climate.
No, they
weren't.
That's
not about whether or not the climate of our world is changing. I think we all agree that it is. But
Yeah, sure.
The Paris Accords were never going to fix that until bigger countries like China got on board with it, right? We did this 2 years ago. We talked about this. The U.S.'s participation in this is ridiculous if the other major countries aren't going to get involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, look, my youngest son is a huge outdoorsman. Hiked the Appalachian Trail. He's an outdoors guy. He sleeps outdoors. All that stuff. I'm a scuba diver. I love the reefs. I don't want to see them destroyed. I want to protect the environment. But we have to have common sense solutions. Look, if you're worried about your carbon footprint, kaboom. Kill yourself, right?
No, don't say that.
No.
We don't endorse self-elimination of carbon footprint.
Self-flagellation? All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fran says I shouldn't have said that. All right, let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
Just recycle. That might be easier.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, so we talked about NKO, North Korea, Guam.
Yes.
This is our sign of the apocalypse.
So, two things. Number one, they're doing flash, duck, and cover drills in Guam.
Right.
Which you probably remember. You and I are old enough for that.
Get under the desks.
Yeah,
you're right? Hell yeah.
Which you then realize later on in life, that was just an easier way to collect the carcasses. It wasn't really for saving yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So, the second thing was Trump's call to the governor of Guam.
Right.
Where he said, and this would have not allowed me to sleep well at night. And he said, look, man, your tourism is about to go up 100%. You're going to be famous. That last statement, I think, would have kept me up at night. Because, yeah, you're going to be famous because you're going to be the first governor presiding over a territory in the modern era that gets nuked. That's why you're going to be famous.
Yeah, but the governor said he was confident in Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, hey. Well, look.
Of course, what are you going to say at that point?
But I have full confidence that if North Korea takes some action, that Trump will level the friggin'... I mean,
right.
The question is, will he stop in time before he kills anyone else? No, I have no issue. He's going to have military response there, and I firmly believe if they come to him and say, dude, they're draining the fuel tanks, which is an indication that they're heating up the rocket for firing it, he will take preemptive strike. I absolutely believe he will.
I believe so too.
So I would say I agree with that, but that's just unsettling because you're the pawn in the middle of this nuclear exchange.
Yeah.
And the president of the United States says you're going to be famous.
The only thing I have confidence in is that Trump has confidence in the people that are actually doing the stuff.
Yeah.
So
he will not hesitate when it's time to say go.
Do what you need to do. Those people will execute. I still fear for the people of South Korea, but...
Oh, it's a fearful situation. We're making light, but it's fearful. But the minute they see heat signature...
Yeah.
As in the rockets are being heated up...
Yeah,
for their,
shit's going to go bad.
For their fueling and then firing, there will be a
preemptive
strike.
Because there's no doubt that we got subs in the area.
Carriers there.
We got B-1Bs. We got carriers. Yeah. We got all kinds of shit. And it will be... It will. Trump was right. It'll be a fury,
it will rain fire from the sky,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah,
he will nuke that country from the 38th parallel to the China border. I mean, it'll be devastating. I just think now he needs to stop saying it. But
yeah, but I do too. But
you know, as far as the apocalypse goes, you know, Guam, good luck to you.
Well, they had pictures of it, and
here today,
like they were having
Guam
good times
tomorrow.
I knew some guys that were stationed in Anderson.
We know
Air Force Base.
One of our coworkers from the academy, one of our instructors, just got back from a tour in Guam. Miss Holly there. She
blah blah blah. What's her name?
Holly.
Okay, so this back is episode 168. I think we got a couple shout outs.
So apparently, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I have been made aware that there is an actual time clock on the moment that I drop an F-bomb in the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
What episode are we on? It's
168.
So 167, apparently, is my new personal record of 2 minutes and 37 seconds.
I'm going to go back and re-listen. One of our faithful listeners, a guy that we think of a lot of, Chief Jet.
Chief, we're going to have to verify that before we... before we declare that's official record. So apparently I don't know that I dropped one this time. I think I avoided it.
Well, you know.
But they come out so easy now.
Honestly, I can't say that I know them because I'm probably dropping them myself. And so
I think
we're both cussers.
We're clean on this one. The other thing is a faithful listener who comments a lot on Facebook and on our pod or the blog site, Don Taggart, a guy I used to serve with. Way back when in New Jersey, his birthday just passed. So happy birthday to Don Taggart.
By the way, Don takes a lot of great pictures.
He took some great photography back when he was at the 177th Fighter Wing. He used to fly in the B model and take pictures, the back seat of the F-16, and he would take pictures up and be
I just see
phenomenal
he takes
photographer.
Today. He takes some great pictures of. You know, just his vacation.
He's retired now, so he's taking stuff around the world.
It's hard to believe there's good pictures to take. The nice pictures take in New Jersey, but
well, he wasn't really in New Jersey. He was
well,
in
he's
the
taken
air.
Some good pictures in New Jersey.
Well, yes,
since I've seen them.
Well, that's true.
But you know,
look, man.
I mean,
it's not all just like you know concrete and skyscrapers. I mean, that's where I'm from.
No, you got the Pineys and all that kind of stuff,
right? Yeah, it's wooded.
Buried people there. And shit.
Along the parkland, yes.
Where was it that I saw this week, Fran, and I thought about you and I thought about our friend Chris, where they got footage of the Bigfoot and the local police department released a statement that said, don't shoot the Bigfoot if you see him.
Oh.
Because it's probably just a guy in a costume.
It's funny that you say that, because I have a picture that I'm going to send you. A golfer in North Carolina snapped a picture. He was looking for his ball. He was like 3 feet into the woods. He got into a clearing looking for his ball, and all of a sudden, he saw this thing. He whipped his phone out, and he took a picture, and they claim, and this thing has gone around the world, this picture, that it is first evidence of the Chupacabra.
Oh! Now, that might be true. If you were going to lay some Bigfoot shit on me, there's no Bigfoot people, but the Chupacabra, that could be true.
Some people are saying it was just a very malnourished dog with mange.
Well, it could be.
But I looked at it, man, and I don't know, but I'll have to send it to you. So the Sasquatch legend is a big back and forth that dates back to our military days.
I saw footage of a Texas Ranger driving down the road behind a Chupacabra, and he was filming it. That damn thing was a Chupacabra. Yeah. Now, I do not believe in Bigfoot or none of that nonsense.
Jersey Devil or the Ohio Grassman, none of that?
That's nonsense. Stupid people believe in that.
But watch out for the Chupacabras, people.
Chupacabra—that's something else. Because it's like a little dog.
Well, this was rather long. It stood rather tall, but it clearly didn't have a lot of mass. I mean, it was it was creepy as shit.
They're bloodsuckers, man.
Yeah. Yes, that's what they are. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is too much fun to have in one day. friends, we're having fun. This is 168. Am I wrong?
It is 168. Okay. Yep, you're right.
168 in the books. Good night, everybody. Sleep tight. Hey, we hope to see you next week if the world doesn't end.
If not, well, it was nice knowing you.
Jonah, tell all the good people night night.
Night night. Night night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.